than he was yesterday.
Well, it was kind of interesting. I didn't know questions are now on a count, and you have a limit, and if you go over that limit, you are shut down immediately.
Yeah, well, PK is on the pitch count every day. That's and I think he has a lot to do with the frisky.
Yes, well, that's true. That's a really good point.
He's got the short leash.
Here's another thing that we talked about earlier. He does have a short leash. Were you surprised at what Mike Vrabel, or maybe you weren't, but I don't know. I want to hear your reaction to what he said about Treylon Burks.
Are you talking about the low bar of what he
Yes. Where he was, you know, he was having fun, but also kind of, you know, again, frisky. He was frisky.
Yeah. He definitely said it with a smile, so I don't know if you only heard the audio, if you got the...
Yeah, we only heard the audio, yeah.
You know, so he definitely said it with a smile, so you could tell he was kind of poking fun and not making, you know, truly sort of derogative statement. But here's the thing about that, guys, and Treylon Burks was tremendous today, by the way. He was probably the best player on the field.
And yeah, because he didn't... on the field. Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say at the podium.
He was good at the podium, too, but that's kind of the point. Is Treylon Burks is a completely different person than he was a year ago. A year ago, he obviously couldn't figure out his breathing, and he was struggling with asthma, and he wasn't even really getting on the field to do anything or show what he could do. Now he's playing with a swagger, and he walked to the podium today, I thought, with a swagger. He went to the podium and took all the questions, the hard ones, the fun ones, and dealt with them all. And sort of talked about helping a guy like Colton Dow, who's a rookie, get on with the program, and even kind of poked fun at himself and said, man, he's further along than I was last year at this point in terms of knowing the offense and all that. And that's what set up Mike Vrabel. But I say all that to just add this. I don't think Vrabel jokes about that or even makes the comment. If he didn't know that Treylon Burks was a completely different guy this year, he knows he's got a different specimen out there at wide receiver. Maybe the same guy, maybe the same number, but he's a different guy. And Treylon looks different, and because of that, I think Mike Vrabel felt like he had free rein to kind of send a shot across the bow about the fact that he wasn't on top of things last year and that he wasn't very good because he knows he's his guy. He's his go-to guy, at least in the passing game.
So Tom Pelissero put out from the NFL Network that DeAndre Hopkins is set to visit the Titans early next week. He's flying in on Sunday. Of course, that has gotten things buzzing here in this market and on a national stage. We've been talking about it. So I'm going to start with what we've been talking about, too, as well, just to get your thoughts now that you've been here long enough, you know, to weigh in on this. Because I know we went back to all the way, like, 25 years since they've been here, Steve. And I know you haven't been here 25, but you've got a really good feel.
Mm-hmm.
We named a lot of positions, and I mean a lot of positions, almost every position other than wide receiver that this team has addressed through free agency over the years and found a really good piece or really good pieces, right? Whether it's Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, you know, going down to David Thornton, going way back, you know, to the list. Even going Frank Wycheck was a free agent. You know, we could just go on and on. But for whatever reason, they have nothing at wide receiver other than Derek Mason. And we had somebody tweet us. Jeff tweeted at us and said, I guess, you know, you should put A.J. Brown on there too. And I'm like, okay, we'll put him in pencil after a year. But, like, the only solid name you have in 25 years of bringing in guys, and a lot of them – future Hall of Famers, Andre Johnson and Randy Moss and Julio Jones and this and that. And the only one you could put on the list that left here as a receiver and went on to be scorched earth somewhere else is Derek Mason. That's it. Can you think of anybody else?
No. I would include AJ in there for the short time he was here because he was a transcendent wide receiver. They got that one right until they decided to trade him and get it wrong. But no, other than that, that's it. Everything else has failed. I mean, frankly, this is where wide receivers go to die, it seems like.
A lot
of the guys you mentioned were Hall of Fame type of guys or will be Hall of Fame guys, and they show up here and they're non-factors. And that's a real problem that this team has always had. And it certainly didn't change this offseason. DeAndre Hopkins is fascinating to me because I think he's closer to being one of those guys than he is to being the next A.J. Brown for the Titans, or maybe even the next Treylon Burks for the Titans. I think he's on the back end of his career, but I do think he can still be productive. And on a team that pretty much by all accounts has the worst receiving core in the National Football League right now, why would you not give that a try? If you can convince DeAndre Hopkins to come and it doesn't break the bank, I think you got to do it because he can give you somebody who you can count on to make some catches. You need a third down catch. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get that for you. Is he going to be a 1,200-yard guy again? That seems like a stretch to me. But if he can settle in behind Burks as a really solid number two for this season, and then you get to Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Colton Dow and those guys, now all of a sudden you look at that wide receiver core and think it's a little bit better than how we've thought of it all offseason.
You said they come here to die. You know, they also come here to retire, too. You know, Andre Johnson came here, 9 catches, peace out, I'm retired. Randy Moss came here, retired, peace out. Even Rishard Matthews came here in the middle of the season, peace out, I'm retiring.
Man,
I'm done.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who was the pretty boy that came from the Broncos that's got married to his wife is famed?
Decker.
Eric Decker. Didn't he come here and retire, too?
Yeah.
Did he go somewhere else?
I thought he went somewhere else, but I could be mistaken. Did he go somewhere else, Steve? Eric Decker.
I think he ended here.
Okay.
I think he did too. Isn't that crazy?
I think he ended here.
It's a Google search. We'll see.
I think he went to New York maybe for a year, but I think that was pre-Titans.
He didn't play for anybody else. He went to New England, and then he didn't make it out of camp. So, yeah, his last days of catching a ball were here.
Yeah. And frankly, you know, if we're being honest, saying that they come here to retire is more friendly and a little bit better of a picture than to die. So we should probably go with that. But
Yeah, that was a bit harsh.
Yeah. All those guys are still with us. Yes.
The problem.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I said in the last segment, you would think in 25 years you would just dumb luck, you know, we could add 2 or 3 more names to that list. Just out of dumb luck, you know, you've thrown so many darts. You know, you're bound to have somebody, you know, that's all the receivers that have been here that you've drafted and had on your roster, which is usually 6-7 guys, if not more, a year. And none of them in 25 years, but Derek Mason left here and went on to do a damn thing in the league. That's hard to do.
Yeah, well, and that's the crazy thing, too, about the situation is a lot of those guys, not necessarily the guys at the end of their career, but a lot of the guys who have come in have shown flashes. I mean, Rishard Matthews was a really good wide receiver for a year, and then he became a disgruntled guy who ultimately retired. Kenny Britt looked like a bona fide number one wide receiver for basically a year. And then he had all sorts of off-the-field issues, and that was a struggle. And obviously he had to part ways with the team at that point. Kendall Wright, I think, had a couple of moments where you thought, okay, maybe this guy can do something for you, and then quickly that fizzled out. So the Titans have had a bunch of guys. I mean, I guess even you can throw AJ into that. Now, AJ's a totally different class, obviously. But you finally felt like, okay, here is the guy that you changed the whole passing game in Tennessee around, and then they trade him. So for whatever reason, even when they seemingly get it right, something comes up to change it. And that's just something that they're going to have to live with until they figure out how to get it right. And I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins can do that, but I do know this. Without a move, you're asking a whole lot of Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo this season to get your passing game going. There's some other guys there that might be able to catch a ball here or there, but you're going to put a whole lot on those two second-year players to get your passing game going unless there is an addition like a DeAndre Hopkins.
You brought up PK earlier. Man, if we think Vrabel was frisky today, or he can also be snarky, how about the press conference right after they signed DeAndre Hopkins, and especially directed at Paul? Woo! Hello from Vrabel.
Yep.
Man, that'll be a must-listen to.
I will pay the price of admission to be there for that one.
Yeah, they could charge for that one. I'll buy a ticket.
Oh,
man, Vrabel will be insufferable for that press conference if they sign DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So anything else stand out? Like, what's something that stood out to you today? Where would you go with that?
Well, Darren, I do think that Treylon Burks was the best player on the field today.
Okay.
I was really impressed at his ability to win basically every 50-50 ball that got thrown his way. And I get it. The offensive player has a huge advantage at this time of year when there are no pads on because they want to stay upright and not get anybody hurt. But he was still just going in there and snagging balls away from people and securing it and coming down with the catch. And I thought that was really impressive. On the other side of things, I thought Chigakonkwo kept getting himself open and just missing on connections, mostly with Tannehill, but really with all the quarterbacks. And it was, I asked him after practice, I was like, what do you think about all that? He's like, it just tells me we need a couple more reps because it's right there. And he said, so if you miss just a little bit this time of year, that's okay. Because a month from now or 2 months from now, when we come back and start to be in the season, we aren't going to be missing those. And he's finding a way to get open and make himself a presence out there. So I do think you've seen some real strides between those two guys. The question is everything else. The other thing that's kind of interesting, not so much if it'll tell you anything long term, but they're spending more time with the lines involved right now than I can remember in terms of the drills. Because, you know, with no pads, you're not doing a whole lot in the run game. It's mostly passing game stuff. And in the past, they've often taken the linemen out of there and gotten them off to the side doing drills and keeping them away from any sort of contact and basically just done 7-on-7. They're turning the 7-on-7 drills into 11-on-11, basically, it seems right now. And Mike Vrabel said afterwards, the way I view that is we've got a bunch of guys in new spots here. And so you have Arden Key going at Andre Dillard all afternoon throughout practice. Dillard's going to see 8 or 9 different moves from a guy like Key over the course of that time. And that's good practice for him, and it's good practice for Key. So I view that we can do it, and if we do it responsibly, that'll help us and put us ahead when we get to training camp and into the season. I just thought that was an interesting sort of philosophical change from what we've seen in past years to what they're doing now.
Steve, are they doing anything differently when it comes to trying to keep this football team healthy? Have you seen anything noticeably different about the way they practice, the way they do anything? Warm up, stretch, eat, I don't care what it is. Are they using a different whistle, a different air horn, anything to try and make sure the team is a little healthier than in years past?
They kind of had an old school soundtrack today, and by old school I mean like late 90s rap. And I was talking with Amy Wells, or I guess Amy Corey now at this point, and talking to her about it, and she described it as classic music because she doesn't think anybody on the field understood it. So, and that made me feel really old that 90s rap is now considered classic music to some people. But other than that, no. I don't think there's anything that's noticeable. Now, you spoke about some things there, their strength training, their eating, those sort of things. We're not really privy
sure
to those types of things. I think they have done a ton of conditioning this offseason. I think that may be one thing that we've seen a little bit more of out there around their practices, but they've done that in the past as well. So I don't think there's some great philosophical change in terms of what they're doing. I do think maybe conditioning was a little bit more of a focus this offseason to try and tell guys that you got to be ready to go for the grind when we come back in training camp, and we can't lose guys to the soft tissue injuries of the past. And you know this, guys, but there is a big difference between a Harold Landry tearing his ACL or a Taylor Lewan tearing his ACL or a Monty Rice breaking his leg or some of those types of things than there is the inordinate number of guys on this team over the last couple of years that have pulled up with hamstrings and calves and those sort of things. That they're not broken, they're just strains. And that's the type of thing that, whether they're doing anything about it or just praying and instructing guys to do better on their own, that's the type of thing they're trying to get out of the system, because you will always have guys who tear their ACL or break a limb or something like that in the NFL. It is a violent contact sport, but you cannot have 3 and 4 and 5 guys a week going on the injured list with hamstring pulls, because you just won't have a roster by the end of the season if that's the case, and that's been the case.
Yeah. Are there any unexcused absences? I know it sounds like we're in high school all of a sudden, but are there any players who are not there and the coaching staff and the front office is like, yeah, we don't really know where they are?
So Vrabel is very reluctant to talk about that. I guess this is the one week of the year where he maybe would say something because it isn't voluntary, but he's very protective of the voluntary time and that no guy needs to be there sort of thing.
Mm.
They'd like him to be there, but they don't need to be there. For this week, though, the one question I have is Christian Fulton. Kevin Byard's back. Elijah Molden wasn't out there yesterday, but he was out there today. Harold Landry's in the building. We know that. Danico Autry's back and out there. So everybody that you'd sort of look to is either there, even if they aren't on the field, or they actually got back on the field. Fulton, who seemingly skipped OTAs until last week, did show up and was around last week, has been nowhere really to be found over these 2 days, at least on the field. And so what is going on there? Is that still an injury issue with him? He's certainly been one of those guys that has struggled with that soft tissue type injury over his time here. Is this somehow a contract thing with him? I don't know. But he is my biggest question right now about this roster, other than Byard and just what that relationship truly looks like right now. But Kevin's at least out there.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty strong feeling that Kevin Byard's going to be a part of this team this year and going to be a leader for this team. But where Christian Fulton is right now and what his status is, I don't know.
Steve, good stuff. Really appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy the afternoon. Talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. Good stuff from him.